You're tuned in to Financing Your Future with Joseph Talbert Jr. with the Harvest Group Institute. It's never too late to redirect your financial plan. Get the help and advice you need right here every Saturday morning at 10 on Praise 107.9.
What's up, Jacksonville? How are you guys doing today? I am Joseph Talbert Jr. here at Praise 107.9, having a good time. I am forever excited to be here on the radio with y'all, hanging out. I feel increasingly blessed and honored, man. We've been talking a lot about finances, the generational wealth and stuff. And I really want you guys to give us a call today. 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251. And chime in, ask questions. Leave us your comments, your thoughts. But it is so very important that we get a good grasp of finances from a sound Christian perspective. And so all of my studies in the Word and talking to my spiritual leadership and my spiritual dad, what there is generational wealth and riches. And again, we know that for generational wealth and riches, that is leaving an inheritance for your children's children, your grandchildren. Your grandchildren should have been, your children should have been born, already taken care of financially by your parents. And if that didn't happen, it's okay. My parents didn't know better. It didn't happen. My grandparents didn't know better. It did not happen. But I know better. And so what I am doing is making sure that my grandchildren are born with something. So, you know, I pick with my kids a little bit and I tell them, I say, hey, guys, unfortunately, all the work I'm doing now, it's not for y'all. It's for your kids. And they kind of chuckle. But I'm serious a little bit. You know, I want them to understand that it is my job to make sure their children are taken care of. And I tell them it is their job to make sure that their grandchildren are taken care of, even though they're 14 and 15 and, 20 or whatever. They already have a mind that if you need to be saving and investing for your grandchildren. And I'll make sure your kids are okay, just long as y'all make sure my grandkids are okay. You know, your grandkids are okay. So anyways, that's generational wealth and riches. Then we got wealth and riches. And again, wealth is measured by time or calendar. Riches is measured by stuff or calculator, if you will. Riches, you can have a bunch of stuff, or you can own time. How much time do you own? We have to retire at some point in our lives. And the reality is, if we retire but we don't own enough time, then we're going to have to get another job. Did you understand what I'm saying? So if you hit 65 and you didn't make sure that you can go from 65, 75, 85, 95 maybe, 30 or 40 years with enough time banked away somewhere, earning interest at a rate faster than inflation, you're going to have to get another job. And so we don't want that to be the case. So you need to own some time. So that's wealth and riches. Generational wealth and riches. Wealth and riches, and then abundance. The Bible talks about abundance, having extra, having something left over, having some money that's not allotted to go anywhere. It's, you get your paycheck, all your bills are paid, and there's some left over. And what's left over, we go ahead and we get to make a decision. Having extra means you have a choice. And so with that choice, is you can be self-rich, others rich, or you can be kingdom rich. And, you get to decide what you want to do with the extra. You take that extra and you start to build wealth for it, or wealth with it. And then we have enough. We have just enough, or the Bible calls it sufficiency. You know, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And, you know, make sure I'm sufficient. I'm good. I have enough. And some people live in that place. It's okay. I've been there. I have just enough. I got the rent paid, the mortgage paid, you know, the car notes paid, the insurance is paid. We got food on the table. Nobody needs any new shoes. We got just enough. There's nothing extra, but we got enough. And thank God for being in a place of enough. But we want to believe God to get to a place of extra. And then we have a place called not enough. And when you don't have enough, you are, you know, subject to miracles. And again, I've been in a place of not enough. And I tell people all the time, you know, just because you're in a place of not enough and somebody's in a place of generational wealth and riches doesn't mean that they're better. All it means is in that place of not enough, you're being taken care of by God. And in that place, let that work on your faith. Let your faith grow. Let your faith get big. Let you start to learn how to navigate and take care of what God is giving you. You may not get a choice when you're in a place of not enough. The neighbor says, hey, you've been on my heart. I got some extra cans of food. I wanted to bring it by. Hey, my son grew out of these clothes. I got a whole bag full. I want to bring them by. You know, hey, you were just on my heart, and I want to give you a little check or pay your light bill. You know, you don't get choice when you're in not enough. But what we do know that is God is taking care of us, and there's no shame in God taking care of you. There's no shame in knowing that I need the Lord to get through this time. But what I do want to say to you is, while you're in a place that's not enough, it's not a badge of honor. It's not someplace you want to get used to. It is not God's best for you. You should not need a miracle to pay your bills every month. That is not how God designed it. That was not what he had in mind when he made you, is to need a miracle every month just to make it by. And so we got to get to a place where we understand that. So again, generational wealth and riches, abundance or extra, enough or sufficiency or not enough. So I need a miracle. And again, give us a call here in the office. I'm tripping. Give us a call here in the studio, 904-296-2251. That's 904-296-2251. Or you can call us at our office at 904-533-6154. 904-533-6154 for those who are a little shy and didn't want to talk on the air. So, again, I want to say thanks to everybody that we've had a chance to work with. Thanks to everybody that calls in and makes it such a great time being on the air. We got a call last week that they didn't even want to get on the air. They said, I just want to say you're doing a great job. We appreciate you being on the air talking about this stuff. So, even stuff like that, it blesses me and lets me know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So, again, give us a call here at 904-296-2251. There's two verses that I've been talking about. I'm going to read them because I wanted to get on a mindset. I'm going to read them real quickly, and then I'm going to chat with you guys. One is in Ecclesiastes, the King James Version, Ecclesiastes 5:19. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth. God has given riches and wealth. So for those who unfortunately believe that you know, it is not cool to have money or whatever your religious perspective on finances and prosperity is, to every man that God gave riches and wealth. And riches is not metaphorical. Wealth is not metaphors. It's money and stuff. It's riches and wealth, and has given him power to eat thereof, or to eat off of that money and to eat off of that wealth. And it says this, to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. So you should be rejoicing in your work. If you have work you're doing that you don't rejoice in, you might want to think about changing up. This is the gift of God. And so real quick, this says take his portion. How much of the portion of what you're earning are you taking that's yours? And it's interesting that it says his portion, which means there's some of the money that you're earning that's not yours. There's not your portion of it. It's kind of like having a pie. What portion is yours and what portion belongs to your brother? I remember when I was little, we had to break the cookie, and we would break the cookie unfairly, you know, on our side. And my mom started making a new rule. She said, whoever breaks the cookie chooses second. And so then we were like, I don't want to break it. You break it. I don't want to break it. You break it. But the idea was to make sure that we all got a fair portion. And so when it says his portion, when you're making your money at work or whatever, a portion of that, about 10%, belongs to the Lord. That's not your portion. That's God's portion. But also a portion of that should go to your generations. So how much of your grandchildren's money are you eating up on yourself? How much of their portion are you spending on you? There's a part in the Bible that talks about your parents, to requite them or take care of them. There's a portion of your income that's supposed to go to your parents if they're elderly and unable to take care of themselves. So how much of the money you're earning that's not your portion that you're eating off of? So it says, take his portion and rejoice in his labor. So what's your portion and what's not your portion? That's a question you should ask every time God puts money into your hand. I'm going to read that in the Amplified Bible. Also, every man to whom God has given riches and possessions and the power to enjoy them. God gives you the power to enjoy those riches and possessions and to accept his appointed lot. Again, that's his portion. What's appointed to you and what's appointed to someone else? And to rejoice in his toil. And his toil means his labor or his work. You should be rejoicing in your job, in the work that you do. If you don't, you need a new job. You know, I say facetiously sometimes, because I hate my job. I say, well, quit then. Well, I can't quit, man, without complaining about it and learn how to rejoice in it. And if you can't rejoice in it, quit and get a new job. Find something you can rejoice in. This is the gift of God. I'll read from Jeremiah right here, 1:8 real quick, too. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that ye observe and do according to. This is the Amplified Bible, according to all that is written in it. For then ye shall make your way prosperous, and then ye shall deal wisely and have good success. And the King James says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts it, and that's what we want to kind of go from there. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You should meditate in the word of God day and night. You should observe and do what's in it. Everything is written in it. And it says, when you read it all the time and when you do what it says, that's when you'll make your way prosperous. And then when you read it and do what's in it, then you shall deal wisely and have good success. My question to you is, and again, trying to affect your mindset where money is concerned, are you dealing wisely financially so you can have good success? And if you're not dealing wisely, there is no wonder that we don't have good success in our money. I was talking with a friend of mine this morning, actually, talking a little bit about the educational system. I think people that know me know I'm not a real big advocate or proponent for our current education system. We get out of school, you know, at around 18 years old, high school, and we have to take care of ourselves for 50 or 60 years after that. And yet nobody teaches us what to do. We learn history, we learn a little bit of math, we learn some science. But we don't learn how to do taxes. We don't learn how to invest. We don't learn how to manage our money properly. We don't learn how to spend it well. We don't learn strategies where finances are concerned. We don't learn CPA stuff. We don't learn how to write a check. We don't learn how to use a debit card. We don't learn how to sign contracts and read them through thoroughly. We don't learn anything that we need to live the next 50 or 60 years after we get out of high school. And that's a problem. And they say, well, your parents are supposed to teach you that. Well, guess what? They went to school and didn't learn it either. Well, their parents were supposed to teach them. And guess what? Their parents went to school and didn't learn it either. The reality is our education system is not designed to teach you how to be sufficient on your own. But anyways, I don't want to go off on a little rant and tangent. But the point is, we got 50, 60 years that we need to live after high school. And this friend and I, we were talking about finances, and it was like, I was only taught, and most of the people I know, we were taught two choices in life for money. We were taught two choices. We were taught the only way to make money is to get a job, and then we were taught the only way to have money after our job is over is to save a little bit of it. So we had two choices, get a job and save a little bit of money. And those two choices, guys, they do not work alone. You will be 55, 65 years old and have to get another job. The federal government is not going to be enough money to take care of you. The little bit of money that most people save is not going to be enough to take care of them. And it's so funny because as soon as money gets, you know, gets tight or gets, we get down, the first thing we say is, okay, I need another job. That's the only choice that we know. Everybody I know, they get 35 years old, right around 35, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, right around 35, and they're like, you man, Joseph, I didn't expect my life to be this way. I think I'm going to go back to school and get another degree so I can get a better job, or I'm just going to go find another job in my industry that's paying a little bit more. And that's the only option that that we've been taught, is get another job. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to get you to understand that the job is not the problem. The money that you make is not the problem. It's the decisions that you make with the money you have. That's the problem. And it's interesting to me. I've been saying it for the last few weeks, and I'm going to keep saying it. Think about it, guys. We want to master being a good husband. I hope that you do. We want to master being a good wife. I hope that you do. So we're in the Word studying about how to be a good wife. We're in the Word studying how to be a good husband. We're in the Word studying how to be a good parent. We're in the Word studying how to be a good preacher and how to be a good neighbor. We're in the Word because we love Jesus. We're learning how to be a better Christian. We're in the Word. We're trying to be the best employee on the job. We want to be a good boss. We want to serve law enforcement properly. We're in the Word learning all these things. And the only thing that nobody's trying to learn from the Word of God is how to be financially sound. And it is so silly to me. That is the funniest thing in the world, how we go to the Bible for every answer, how to be healed, how to forgive people. But the only thing we know about money from the Word is the love of money is the root of all evil. So stay away from it. And that is just not what God was trying to tell you at all. Think about this. God is a smart God. There is no way in the world he wanted you to master everything except for money. That just couldn't be the way he thinks. The Bible does not support that dogma. I'm telling you, get in the Word of God and learn about money. Learn about investing. Learn about strategy. Learn about saving. Learn about proper relationships. I mean, the Bible talks about, it says, make friends with unrighteous mammon, that in the day of adversity, you got an option. Well, I lost $10,000 a month in revenue a couple years ago. And guess what? If I didn't have secular friends, this guy wasn't a Christian, but he was a great investor. He gave me $30,000 to put back in my company and get it back where it needed to be. Well, if I didn't have friends with unrighteous mammon and all I knew was my mom and them and the people that live next door to me, I would have been out of luck. The Bible teaches you how to deal with people and how to deal with finances. I'm telling you it does. But if you don't care to learn it, if you don't care to deal wisely with it, again, we just read here in Joshua 1:8, it says, "If once you stay in the Word, then you will make your way prosperous, and you should deal wisely and have good success." Deal wisely with your money. We want to deal wisely with our wife. We want to deal wisely with our kids. We want to deal wisely with our job, and we want to deal wisely with our neighbor. And we're studying all these other things so we can be great Christians. But we don't want to deal wisely with our money. We're not studying it. And we got to change that up. We got to break that religious habit. 904-296-2251. Give me a call here in the studio. Tell me what you think. 904-296-2251. Want to hear from you. Give us a call at our office if you want to sit down and really get your money in order. 904-533-6154. I was talking with my dad. He's like 65 or whatever. And he said, yeah, man. He said, when we were in church growing up, he said, nobody ever taught us about finances. He said, they even told us, don't go to college because it didn't matter. Jesus was coming back soon. And that's so funny to me. You know, here it is. You know, I don't know. I'm 40, you know, 40 years later. And he's still here on the earth and Jesus isn't back yet. That was not what God was talking about. And he said, nobody taught us about investing, son. They told us it wasn't necessary. They said, just go get a good job and you'll be fine. And guys, that is just not the concept biblically at all. God expects you to take the money he gives you and produce fruit with it. You know, I talk a lot about the talents. I hear people teach on the talents all the time. He gave one 5 and he produced 5. He gave another one 2 and he produced 2. He gave the one And it says that he got afraid. And that's what I'm going to talk about here closing up. It says he got afraid, and so he hid it. He said, I knew you were a hard and austere man, so I hid it, afraid that I would not have anything for you when you got back. And he said, that's what makes you wicked, because you knew I was hard. You knew I was going to want you to have something produced. You knew I reaped where I didn't, so you knew it, and you still didn't produce any fruit. And he says, hey, you're wicked. And I know people don't want to hear that if you don't take the money God gives you, the Bible says wicked, not Joseph. And so I have to look at my own self and say, okay, if God said, we got a caller here. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Awesome. What's your name?
Shandrika.
Shandrika. Hi, I'm Joseph. Good to meet you officially. What can we do for you?
Yes, I just was listening on the way home, and you said something that I just was telling one of my friends from church about, you know, everyone wants to build themselves. And first of all, what you said about how you get to 35, I'm 30,
uh-huh.
And how you get a 35 and you wonder, you know, hey, I'm broke all the time. I need to go to school. I need to get a better job.
Right.
And, you know, increase my finances. But it's something wrong with what you're doing with your finances, and God want to help you with that if you just turn to
If you just turn to him, yeah.
And allow him to. And I was just saying that, and I'm so glad that you said it. And that's kind of confirming, you know, that God he's listening, and he wants to help me.
He does want to help you. He does want to help you, sweetie. And number one, I'm proud of you. And I'm excited that you're submitting this part of your life to God. Unfortunately, most people who feel like I submitted my finances to God, they only mean I've just started tithing. You know what I mean?
Right.
But there's a whole financial world. There's an education. There's a way that money works. There's everything. And the Bible talks about it. The Bible is replete with concepts of money. And if you don't subject yourself to God, you won't ever learn it. And so good for you. If you like to, do you have a pen handy? Can you take down our office phone number?
Yes.
So good job and good for you. And God is listening to you. It's 904.
Yes, and 904.
533-6154.
6154.
Hey, give us a call on Monday or Tuesday. Let us set a time to sit with you and really help you get some of this stuff done, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
And so real quick, guys, again, talking about the fear factor. You know, like I said, we have a couple of options. It's get another job and save our money. Get another job and save our money. Nothing wrong with inherently getting another job, but that ain't going to fix the problem. Saving your money, that's good, but that's not earning anything. So he tells the guy, you should have at least put it in the bank to earn some money. He really wanted him to do something with it. He wanted him to produce fruit with it, not just put it in the bank. He said that was the least. And think about that. He said at least you could have put it in the bank. So people who have money saved and it's in the bank, that's the least you can do. And we should never get excited about the least we can do. And it's so funny. I hear people, you know, even with all of this crazy crap going on in the world today, people love to say, well, at least such and such and such and such. And I said, did you hear what you just said? That you just highlighted the least. Why are you okay with doing the least? If it's at least I can do, I don't want to do the least. I want to do the most. So I don't want to just put my money in the bank. Because he said, at least you could have put your money in the bank. So, having your money in the bank, that's the least you can do. You need to have your money in places that's earning you more money, whether that's in investing, whether that's starting a business. It's putting your money in a situation where it's earning you money. What assets do you have and what liabilities do you have? You need to sit down and look at those things. Where am I spending my money? Am I spending my money in ways that eat my money away, or am I spending my money in ways that earn me more money? And it's so funny. Again, these options we have, all they know is get a job. And as soon as I mention you need to invest, the first thing they say is, oh, no, I might lose my money if I invest. I'm scared to invest.
And I said, well, you weren't scared to spend $3 on a Whopper. You lost that money. You weren't scared to spend that money at the movie theater. You lost that money. You weren't scared to buy that $99 swimming suit that you didn't need. You lost that money. So don't tell me you're afraid of losing money. You spend money all the time, and it is gone. You have nothing to show for it but old clothes and TVs in your house. So you spend money all the time for no reason at all, and it is gone. So the reason you don't want to invest is not because you're afraid to lose money. The reason you don't want to invest is because now it takes some education. Now it takes time put in. So don't tell me you're afraid of losing money. You're not afraid of losing money. You're afraid to put your faith and action behind something positive. Because you'll spend money all day long just to show, have nothing to show for it. I've seen it. The reason that most of us are broke is because we spend money on stuff that just consumes our money. We spend the money and it's gone. We don't spend money on things that make us money. We spend money and it's gone. So don't deceive yourself into thinking you don't like to invest because you're afraid you might lose. No, you know, you're not afraid of losing money. You lose money all the time. That's why you're broke, because you spend money on everything that you shouldn't be spending it on. And it blows me away how I don't have cable and I can afford it. You know why I don't have cable? Because it's a waste of $150 a month. I can be putting that money somewhere and investing it in my grandkids, in my life insurance. If I pass away, they're not going to get my kids. If I die tomorrow, my kids are going to get a whole lot of money because I'm making sure that my finances are taken care of properly. At the end of the day, don't lie to yourself about, I don't want to lose money. You just don't want to educate yourself in the way of investing. You don't want to put your faith in God in a way that stretches who you are and makes you a steward, a legitimate steward over your finances. You're supposed to be tithing. Thank God if you do. You're supposed to be giving in church. Thank God if you do. If you're not, you need to be doing it to give an undergirding to your financial decisions. But beyond tithing and giving, you need to be strategically investing, spending your money in ways that make you money, knowing the difference between an asset and a liability. And if the only thing in your life that you have that you feel like is an asset is the house that you do not own, that the bank still owns, but you think you own it, you don't own it. Stop paying that bill and you'll see real quick you don't own it. Even if you have it paid off, stop paying those taxes and you'll see real quick that you don't own it. And I get it. That's a whole nother concept and idea. The point I'm making is you have to be spending money in a way that's creating assets for you, your household, your generations, creating a legacy. Stop spending money frivolously. Stop throwing it away. Quit telling yourself, I don't want to invest because I'm scared to lose. I might lose. You're already losing money every time you spend it on nothing. Every time you spend it and have nothing to show for it. And that's so funny to me. If I invest my money, there's a 50-50 chance I might lose. You're right. There's a 50-50 chance this company might go under. 50-50 chance that stock might go down. You're right. But if I go spend it on Burger King and a new outfit, there's a 100% chance that I get nothing for what I spent my money on. It's gone. So I'd rather have a 50-50 chance of winning as I invest my money wisely and strategically from a biblical perspective and a company that I can trust than just to be out there frivolously spending my money and it's gone 100% of it. And so think about what I'm saying, guys. And don't forget, go to our website, harvestgroupinstitute.com. Go to the contact us section, ask questions, talk to us, give us a call, 904-533-6154. We are looking for people that we can work with, that we can mentor for a year, so we can document your progress and have you come on a radio show. We're growing. We're creating ways. There's two books that we want to be able to get you guys. We're going to have a way for you to sow into the ministry. There's a book that I've written called Quick Guide to Discovering the Best You. It's a phenomenal book helping you understand how you're wired, why God made you, and what you can do with your life. There's another book that one of my partners wrote called Small Steps to Doing Big Business. And what we're going to do with that book is give it to people who want to start a business or who have a business. And so next week we'll have a way for you to sow. And we'll be able to send those books out to you. We've been finding out from people who listen that we need to be on the air for an hour or so, just so we can get more people able to call in. So I appreciate y'all's time and attention. God bless you. We love you. Drive fast and take chances.
This has been Financing Your Future with Joseph Talbert Jr. here every Saturday morning at 10 with financial tips for you and your family, and all based on biblical principles. Contact Joseph for more information at 554-0946, 554-0946, and join him every Saturday morning right here on Praise 107.9.